This is Brendan Rice, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, what is up? Welcome back to the X-exclusive Rookie Mock Draft Series. This is Mock Draft number 5, and joining me today for the Superflex 3-round edition, that's the goal anyway, see if we get the 3 rounds here in a timely fashion, is the OG of fantasy, Theo Graminger, the director of content at playerprofiler.com. Theo, my dog, it's rookie season. The combine is OVER over. How the hell are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to do this mock draft with you. I can't wait for you to poke holes in a couple of my selections. And I can't wait to snipe you a few times too, Cody. This is the first time we've actually talked about like the new rankings post-NFL Combine. I'm super stoked to talk with you. You know, you're one of the best there is at NFL draft content, but I'm still going to beat you in this rookie draft.
I appreciate that. And I did want to just mention, like, this is the first time we've had this conversation. And obviously, I was at Player Profile a year ago, so we had more of these intense conversations about where these guys are placing. Now, we got Theo from Player Profiler, me at Roster Watch, both heavily handed in the rookie process and the Dynasty rankings. And we're going to see where we differ, where the two sites differ. But you can go get those Dynasty rankings over at playerprofiler.com or at rosterwatch.com as well. So we'll start off first and foremost, Theo. I'm going to give you the layup pick, I think, which is the 101 here in Superflex. What's the answer?
Caleb Williams, easy. There's nothing easy, to really easy. talk about it. Caleb Williams, I think it's just, it's clear cut, slam dunk. It's how high you want to rank him in Dynasty initially at the quarterback position, not where you see him in the Superflex rankings. He should go 1 in every single league.
I can agree with that. I don't really got much analysis to add other than he kind of sold me a little bit more at the NFL Combine. I haven't been the biggest Caleb Williams guy, but at the Combine, I like the progression. I like the communication. I like the interview, and I like the process for Caleb despite not throwing, which was irritating as hell. 102, I'm going to go stay at quarterback here. I love me some Drake May. I'm just going to continue to stay with Drake May here at the 102. I think he ends up being the second or third pick in this draft. I'm hoping the Vikings trade up to 2 and get him, add him to that Jefferson Addison group and Hockenson. So I'm going to go Drake May here, 102.
Yeah, and I'll break it up. I'll go wide receiver here, and I'm going to go Marvin Harrison Jr. at the 103. That you can make an argument for taking the quarterback in Superflex, but I just think he's a special talent, a can't-miss type player. And like Caleb Williams, it's where do you rank him in Dynasty, not where do you rank him among wide receivers for me.
I think that's a big question right there is where do you rank him in Dynasty? Because I think at the current state, he should be in that 6-5, 6-7 conversation overall in Dynasty. Generally, I feel like a quarterback would probably be a smart decision to go here with Jaden Daniels at the 104, but I'm not going to do it because if, like I just explained, Drake May goes second off the board, you're looking at the Giants, you're looking at the Patriots potentially for quarterback spots for Daniels, and I love some Daniels, but I love me some Malik Nabers a little bit more. So I'm going to go Malik Nabers here at the 104. There's been conversations the last couple of weeks. I feel like I ripped the Band-Aid off a couple of weeks ago with a tweet, and Lance Zierlein replied to it saying, he's my wide receiver 1. And I had that conversation with Alex. I had it with Maddie. I've had it with a bevy of people about who the wide receiver 1 is in this class. And really the answer to the test, Theo, is all three of these dudes are motherfuckers, dude.
Yeah,
Rome's a god, Malik's a god, Marv's a god. They all should be top 12 in Dynasty right now as far as rankings go. They're all going to be top 10 picks in the NFL draft. And I don't want to have the conversation anymore with, ooh, I want this guy over this guy over this guy. I want all three of these cats. I think they're all going to be excellent. I think all three of them have very few nicks on their profile. So I'm going to go Malik here at 104.
Yeah, it's the, arguably, and I think we always get a little bit of recency bias because the guys we're studying are right now, but this might be the best top three that I've seen, and at least you'd have to go back many, many seasons for this. It's like you said, I think all three of them go in the top 10 of the NFL draft. That's special, and all three of them project to be wide receiver 1s in the NFL at like a very high level. I think they could all be 150-plus target type guys too, which is really, really special. So that's a great pick. But you made my 105 easy. I'm going to go Jaden Daniels. Immense rushing upside. I saw today a mock draft that had the Las Vegas Raiders trading up to 103 to get him. I believe that was Dane Brugler's draft. That was a really exciting spot for me, you know, for him to have guys like Jacoby Myers and Davante Adams that can get open. But I think he's going to be a really, really good player for fantasy football. You know, we've seen the sort of floor that these high rushing upside guys give us, and that's Jaden Daniels in a nutshell.
I can't complain about it. 106, I'm going Rome Odunze, the third wide receiver in this group, the tier one, the finalizer. My tier for Superflex right now is just six guys. These six guys you just listed off: Caleb, Drake, Marv, Malik, Jaden Daniels, Rome Odunze. You mentioned it, you know, the first three wide receivers off the board. You go back to 2014, Watkins was four, Mike Evans was seven, Odell Beckham was 12. That was three guys that went in the top 12. Seems like this class is probably going to beat that, and that class was pretty prolific. But I tweeted that out the other day. I think it was at the Combine, and I think I got like a 65-35 vote ratio in favor of the 2024 group. I know there's a little recency bias built in there, but I'm going to go with Dunze here at six. Is this the end of your first tier, or you got one more guy in here?
I think that for value for Superflex drafts, I want to be in the top eight right now. But yeah, I think for me, that's the top six. But I do think 7-8 have a lot of power. And I'll say Brock Bowers for me at the 107, despite the ascension of the guy you're probably going to take at 8. Brock Bowers is a special talent. And I understand he didn't run at 245. So there's like the pessimist saying, oh, he's going to shed down and he'll be 235 again at Georgia's pro day when he runs like a 4.47 or something, 4.5. But I think that it was a win. It shows he's able to put on weight without looking sloppy. And we look at the guys that are been, you know, big time fantasy producers. Cody, I think it's a little bit of a new archetype. These 245 pound tight ends that are 6'4", that are a little closer to big wide receivers than a guy that we have to trust as an inline blocker. Bowers, yep, I think could be special. And I think that he projects as a tight end who could be 140 target guy in the league. And I love the ugly landing spots. Give me Tennessee. Give me Denver. Give me these gross spots where that's the focal point of the offense. And I think he would ascend fantasy-wise, you know, better than being like the number two in a little bit better offense.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think the Denver one is a very interesting one that nobody's talking about right now. I think Sean Payton's going to want to – Dulcich is on the outs. Dulcich I don't think is going to make it to the start of the season on the roster. Heard that news back in August. I could talk about it now, but that was something I heard back in August, that he wasn't going to do a damn thing last year, and he didn't. And there was rumors he was going to get cut during camp, so I don't think he'll make it to this year. Bowers, if he goes to Denver, would be rather interesting, I would say, depending on what the quarterback situation is. But speaking of quarterback, I'm going to go 108 here. I'm going to go J.J. McCarthy. I think this is a conversation. You could bring in a couple receivers here to talk about, but I'm going to go McCarthy since it's super flex, and I'm going to bet on him getting, you know, that top 15, top 16 draft capital in the NFL draft, potentially top 10. I like that for super flex right here, and I just love what J.J. McCarthy brings to the table. He tends to continue to remind me of like a Desmond Ridder type, but I think Ridder was pretty accurate, but I think McCarthy's more accurate. He's a better winner. I think he can do more. He can spin the ball a little bit better. He was, you know, we charted the routes at the combine, but Matty Kiwan, we had him charting the passes for target accuracy, which is a statistic at Player Profiler, but we charted it on a 1-4 basis, and McCarthy had the most good to great throws and the least below average to shitty throws. So McCarthy, again, that's without May, that's without Williams, without Daniels. He was clear cut best of the rest of the group. So I'm going to go McCarthy here at 108.
Yeah. And the 109, it seems like a big teardrop from 108. And I think getting into that 108 right now, if you're looking to like ensure that you get a top tier guy, like Cody and I have Rome Odunze and Brock Bowers at 6-7, which is how it should be. But if J.J. McCarthy goes fourth overall, fifth overall, sixth overall, yes, or if he lands with your Minnesota Vikings and you say, okay, he's got Jordan Addison and he's got Justin Jefferson, he's got a path to being a top 10 fantasy starter down the line, then he could rise up and you could get this incredible value pick at 7 or 8. So for me, this is where the draft really kind of starts. And I could go a bunch of ways, but we talked about him in the pre-show. I think Xavier Worthy, there's certain teams that are going to treat him as a Jalen Waddle, that think that he can do a lot more than just be a, you know, really, really fast guy. And I think that he's going to get the draft capital. I wasn't on him as wide receiver 4 a few weeks ago, but now that it looks like he's going to be, in my opinion, a top 20 pick, I'm comfortable taking him as wide receiver 4 off the board here. 20 years old too, Cody.
Waddle's a very interesting comp. I kind of like that. Some of the last couple mocks we've done before the combine, 204, 201, 111, 112. Now he crests up to 109. I think we're going to see a run of receivers go here. I'd be interesting to see when this streak snaps, but I'm going to continue it here. Adonai Mitchell, 110, runs a 4.34 at the NFL combine, something we did not expect. We were looking at 4.51, 4.50, 4.49 potentially. He didn't play with 4.34 speed. He also talked about it at the NFL combine. I didn't run any routes this year full speed because I wanted to be able to change my pace, change my speed in the middle of routes, in the middle of drives. So I'm going to go Adonai Mitchell here, 110.
So I'm going to take a guy that I think we're differing on. I'm going to take Brian Thomas Jr. here at the 111. Much like Adonai Mitchell, he measured in well, gives you 6'3", over 200 pounds, runs low 4.3s, 3.40, 17 touchdown catches last year at LSU. I think the writing's on the wall that, like Worthy, I think he's somewhere in like that top 23 in the first round. Maybe a little bit less diverse skill set than some of these guys, but I think he could be a big red zone threat, a deep threat. And he looked like a guy who could have a little bit more in terms of yak than I think some people are giving him credit for. So I'm going to take Brian Thomas at the 11 spot.
All right. So we're going to finish out round one here. And I kind of, this is a tough spot for me. 2 weeks ago, I would have 100% hammered Troy Franklin if you hadn't taken him. Or Troy Franklin probably would have been four picks higher than this selection right here. I think running back's interesting. I'm going to wait on receiver, actually. I thought I was going to do it here, but now that we just went through these two picks, I think I'm going to wait. I'm just going to go ahead and take a guy that I think potentially gets into the end of round one. If not anything, he's a top 40 pick at the quarterback position, Michael Penix. I'm just going to go Penix here. It's super flex. Give me Michael Penix to finish out round one. So pick overall number one, Caleb Williams, Drake May number two, Marvin Harrison number three, Malik Nabers 4, Jaden Daniels, a quarterback out of LSU 5, Roma Dunze 6, Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia 7, J.J. McCarthy 8, Xavier Worthy 9, Adonai Mitchell 10, Brian Thomas 11, and the quarterback out of Washington, Michael Penix, comes in at 112. Theo, take us to the 201.
So I think that a running back run is coming soon, and this is appropriate time, like you said, the 112 to take, you know, whoever your perceived RB1 is off the board. But I'm going to go back to the wide receiver well. I'm going to take another guy that I think has played himself into the first round and projects very well for fantasy, and that's Ladd McConkey, wide receiver of Georgia.
That's going to be an interesting one. This is going to be an interesting one, I think, through the entire process to see people's thoughts on value. So as early as last week when I did the last mock, it was 202. He went off the board. But February 12th, he went 211. So it's kind of been a 10 pick thing. But nothing happened between 212 and 225. Like, the Senior Bowl was before the 12th of February. So it's really just going to be, I think, draft dependent. You're going to have guys potentially take him where Brian Thomas went off the board in our draft right now, 111, I think, if he ends up being a first-round pick. And you're going to have guys that are completely out on him, and you're going to be able to maybe get a value there at 206, 207, potentially. People like Troy Franklin, Keon Coleman, running backs, whatever it may be, maybe Bo Nix, whatever, you're going to be able to get a value on Ladd. So I think that's a very interesting one. McConkey there at 201. I'm going to go running back. I'm going to do it. I got Jonathan Brooks pegged in right here as my running back one at current state. I don't think it would be a question in this class if Brooks didn't tear his ACL. I think there's a little bit of a question now. You can talk about Trey Benson. He ran the 4.39. He was very disappointing, though, throughout the season. In my opinion, I thought the opportunity to be RB1 in this class, if you could go back and say, you know, we know Trey Henderson's not going to be out. Trey Benson has the opportunity on a silver platter to take it. He didn't take it. He left the door open for a lot of these guys, and the athleticism is great and all. But I think as a pure running back, I prefer Jonathan Brooks. So right now I'm going to go Jonathan Brooks 202.
And I think that's fine. For me, I will go Trey Benson, though. And I think Jonathan Brooks, Cody, if he would have stayed healthy, might have been a late first rounder, just based on all the chatter I'm reading and, you know, sort of the profile and everything. But Trey Benson, you know, like you said, runs the 4.39 at 216 pounds. You know, athletically, you're talking about Breece Hall, Ken Walker, and, you know, lower speed score than Jonathan Taylor, but a very similar 40. So I think he does get inside the second round, and I'll take the chance. I think we could have seen a little bit more at Florida State this year, but he did have some big games. And we like the fact that he's recovered fully from that Oregon injury. So I think Trey Benson is going to get the draft capital. Some of these other running backs we like a lot might be third rounders, whereas I think Trey Benson is a second rounder.
Is Trey Benson your RB1?
Well, it's been a kind of a, for me, I don't want to cop out. Yes, I think he is my RB1 at this point. I haven't finalized these rankings post-combine, but yeah, I'm leaning in that direction. I wanted to see Braylon Allen run. I've been big on Braylon Allen. I have big concerns about a guy who didn't run despite dropping weight and despite looking the way he did. I have some concerns there. And it's also a lot of running backs help themselves the same day that Braylon Allen didn't help himself. So I'm going to reward Trey Benson for his strong performance. I always had him pretty high up in the running back rankings as well. So it's not like a meteoric jump for me.
And just like you just said, everything about Braylon Allen is completely true. I have him here. I'm going to go 204. He was my running back one before the combine. I moved him down to three, but I do think those three guys are in a good conversation tightly together. If Braylon does go to his pro day, and again, he did weigh 10 pounds lighter. I saw him at the media and I was like, that guy's not 245. That guy's a lot closer to 235. He weighed 235, didn't run. I was kind of pissed. But as far as him looking different than this rest of this class, he does look like a monster comparison. But I'm going to go 204 here for the freshly 20-year-old Braylon Allen, hoping he runs, you know, sub 4.5 at this pro day. I don't know what's going to happen, but 204 Braylon Allen.
Give me the Leonard Fournette 40. Leonard was like 240 something and ran like a low 4.5. I know it's a pro day number, but still give me like something and we'll be right back on board with Braylon Allen. At least 100%. I will. And he went 21 overall last night in a single QB draft that I did with Matty Kiwum, John Lobb, and a couple, and Austin Abbott. So like he's, you know, a lot of people are a little worried now. So definitely a value based on where you would have had to take him a couple weeks ago. And let's keep the running back run going. I'll go Blake Corum, another guy that I think helped himself out with a 4.5 3.40, and a guy that I think will also get the draft capital. I think NFL teams are going to really like having Blake Corum on their team. I think he looked good at the combine. And again, I'm almost positive he's going to be like a top 75 pick.
I think this running back situation, we just saw Brooks, Benson, Allen, Corum, back-to-back-to-back-to-back off the board in this rookie mock right here. This is a potential, not going to happen exactly like this in the NFL draft, but I think we're going to see five of these guys go within 25 picks in the NFL draft. It's going to start maybe around the 50 marker and maybe go to 75. And you're going to see all these guys kind of trickle off, it feels like, and we'll see who pulls the trigger first. And just for conversation and fair play, I'm going to put Jalen Wright here at 206. So we're going to go five straight running backs. I think Jalen Wright deserves to be in the same conversation, so I'm going to put him in the same conversation. He's my running back five. You just listed off quite literally my rankings in order: Brooks, Benson, Allen, Corum, Wright. So I'm going to take him here at the 206. He showed the speed, 4.38. The size is nice. It's fine. 210. It's good. I don't love the play on the field. I think he is a little bit of a one-trick pony. I don't think there's any comparisons to these receiving backs. I did see a Kamara comp a couple times actually yesterday. I don't agree with those at all. From a size standpoint, from a school standpoint, sure. But speed, athleticism, non-ability to receive, 34 targets, 34 games. I just think he profiles – he's not Devon Achane at all. He profiles closer to a Devon Achane than he does any of these receiving backs. So I'm going to go right here, 206, and I got a little hesitance about it.
Well, we've seen the power of the high-value touch, really fast running back, and now you're seeing it with a 210-pounder. So, Cody, it's scheme design is going to matter for him. He's not a thumper, but there's enough creative people in the NFL that, hey, man, We get points for those 45-yard runs just as much as we do a guy getting 10 4.5-yard runs. So I'll take some Jalen Wright in my drafts as well. And I'm going to go Keon Coleman here at 19 overall. He's getting beat up by his 40-yard dash time. Certainly disappointing, but it was never a guy that I thought was going to be a burner by any means. And I think that the NFL teams are still going to take him inside of the top 50 picks, inside maybe the top 45 picks. And he looked good in the gauntlet. All the other testing numbers were good for a player of his size. And, you know, I look back at Michigan State. He outperformed Jaden Reed in their one season together. So he's had back-to-back seasons of college production at a pretty high level. And I think the NFL teams are going to like Keon Coleman. I understand that there's concerns, like Matty Cumum has concerns about his separation skills. But in terms of the what I'm having to risk here at the end of the second round, I'm perfectly fine taking him here.
I like it. All right, I'm going to drop the gear into third here. We've got to get cooking. 208, I'm going to go ahead and bring on down Ricky Pearsall. He's done enough. I think he's going to be a slot dominator, 187 pounds. I want to see him go to Pittsburgh. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, that would be a spicy one. I would love that. Give me any wide receiver that ends up with Mike Tomlin, and we're going to see some production there. And I'll say at 21 overall, I will go with the first quarterback that I've selected, and I'll go Bo Nix. It's not exciting, but it is Superflex, and I do think he deserves to be a second-round pick in Superflex right now.
210, my favorite player probably at the wide receiver position in the entire draft, Mr. Javon Baker out of Central Florida. I tabbed him Mr. 206 at the pre-combine stuff, and 40 wasn't bad. 4.54 is right at my prediction, which is 4.53. I think Baker's going to excel in the NFL as a route runner. He didn't grade at the top at the NFL combine, but I do think he's just a purified gamer, and I'm going to get him here to 210, which is a spot that I love. Javon Baker, UCF.
Give me Marshawn Lloyd at 23 overall. I think I'm a little higher on him than you are. Runs a 4.46 at 220 pounds. Gets a plus 110 speed score. He had a great Senior Bowl. And like you said, I think he's going to be drafted in that mix of the tightly second round, third round running backs in this draft. I think it's a win for us at the running back position. I think we see six guys be drafted by the end of day two.
The only problem I have with Marshawn Lloyd, and I love Marshawn Lloyd, I thought he was the most dominant running back at the Senior Bowl, is his body weight coming in at 220 pounds. He's 217 at the Senior Bowl, 220 at the combine, ran a 4.46. His lower quadrant, his lower quarter, the calves, the knees are a bit thin. And this is something that Byron Lambert at Roster Watch will bring up, is the Darren McFadden corollary, which is the very slender lower quarter and the beefy top. And the beefy, you look at Marshawn, he walks around like he just got done doing shrugs for 7 days in a row. But the calves are a little slender, and that's susceptible to more injuries. And watching him walk around the combine, he was like, weird analysis, but it's a bit knock-kneed, and it's a little, just a little worry I have in that lower quarter being a little slender. And we did see him get banged up a little bit in college, but I do love me some Marshawn Lloyd. I got him at running back 7 in the class. But 212 here, I'm going to finish it up with a tight end, Mr. Jatavion Sanders. He was going between 203 and 208 before the combine. Kind of disappointing running in the low 4.6s. I think he'll correct that at the Texas Pro Day, trying to get down there to the 4.62 area, but I still think Jatavion's the tight end 2 in this class. I just think the conversation is a little bit tighter now with Theo from Penn State.
Yeah, I like the Jatavion Sanders. You know, you're still on him there in that range. I was disappointed. I thought he was going to be like a high 4.5s guy, yep. And he runs a 4.69. So, you know, that's not like a. We love getting 4.7 and below when we're evaluating these guys, but not on a tight end that we were expecting to be like a next level athlete. So good to see you still on him there. I'll take Roman Wilson at the 301 here, 25 overall. Runs a 4.41. So everybody was kind of like expecting him to go nuts in the 40, closer to 4.3 range, but he did just enough. He's quick. He's going to get second round draft capital. Had a really good Senior Bowl. I'm not going to like bash a guy because he's a 4.41. He looks the part.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I love him. I think Roman's going to be just fine. He's a good separator at the Senior Bowl. He's one of the only guys that could make a play on Quinyon Mitchell, who was a damn blanket down there in Mobile. 302 here. I'm staring at Troy Franklin, dude, and I can't click the button right now. He's classified in my grades at the combine as a developmental type of a player. I don't think he is, but I think it's much more one trick esque And I'm just not ready to click that button yet. For those reasons, I'm going to take a guy that didn't really do much of anything at the NFL Combine. He weighed in 215 pounds. He didn't have as big of hands as I thought he would. He didn't run the 40, didn't do interviews, but Malachi Corley here at the 302. I think he's still going to be a top 65, top 70 pick in the NFL draft, and getting him here in the early third round. I love it because he's the yak king.
I will end the slide. I will take Troy Franklin at 27 overall. What a difference a few days makes. We'll let him develop on my bench, Cody.
Brendan Rice, 304, a guy that needs more conversation. I have him as a top 10 wide receiver in the class. He is the son of Jerry Rice. He's not getting the same boost that Marv's getting because he's not as good as Marv, but he did run a 4.50. We did not expect a 4.50 out of him. I think the conversation will be more vast in the right now if he ran a 4.49, 4.48, something like that. But 4.50 is right there, 6'2", 212. He's going to be a very good number two in the NFL. Michael Wilson-esque, maybe Michael Wilson plus, I think, in the NFL. He had 45 receptions last year, 12 touchdowns with Caleb Williams, 304, Brendan Rice.
I'm going to go – we'll keep the wide receiver run going, and I think this is a good range for him. I'm going to take Xavier Legette. Had a really, really good combine. After sort of a so-so Senior Bowl, looks the part, and I think he'll get the draft capital. There's some things we don't like. He's old. He only had 1 year of big college production, but he is extremely athletic, and all it takes is one NFL team saying that, hey, he's my wide receiver two, year one.
I thought you were going to snipe me there, but you didn't do it. I'm going to go Jalen Polk here, wide receiver from Washington. Polk is the last guy that hasn't been drafted. He's in my top 10, wide receiver 9 currently. I love me some Polk, 203 pounds, 4.52, 6.1. He is the consummate Adam Thielen. I think he's going to be fantastic in the NFL, fantastic for fantasy, 110, 115 targets on a regular basis. I'm looking forward to Jalen Polk on my roster everywhere.
I'm going to go a little bit out there, and I'm going to take my tight end 3. I'm going to take Ben Sinnott, who had a really, really good combine. He had the highest vertical of any single tight end in the class. He ran a faster 40 than Jatavion Sanders, which was insane for him to run a 4.68 and have that sort of vertical. This is a guy that had a really high-quality ADOT this year at Kansas State, led Kansas State in receiving yards, led Kansas State in receiving touchdowns, a little bit older, but he really helped himself out. I think he will be the third tight end drafted and not Theo Johnson, despite the incredible combine. I think Sinnott kind of translates into a guy that could help us on our fantasy teams.
I'm going to go. I think that's interesting. You brought up Sinnott. So that makes me think Sinnott and Theo both did have good combines. I'll wait on Theo. I'm going to go Will Shipley here, running back from Clemson. We did not get a 40 from him, but he weighed 206 at the NFL combine. It's a guy that I think the Clemson Pro Day will be next week. I'm still waiting on news if I'll get to go down to there or not to see Mr. Will Shipley. But I currently have him slated as my running back 6, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what the Pro Day numbers do look like for Will Shipley, because like we talked about before, that big 5 that came off a round ago, feels like for me, that's about it. And then it's a massive tier break, as you guys can tell. That running back tier ended 206, and then there was a wide receiver quarterback, wide receiver, Marshawn Lloyd, tight end, bunch of receivers. And I'm going to go Shipley here at 308.
Yeah, and Shipley can catch the football. Him weighing in at that weight, he's going to get the draft capital. He'll be drafted either in the fourth round. In the fourth round, I think, is kind of his floor based on his pedigree and what he did. So that's a really, really good pick. I'm going to go with another guy that I think had a really, really strong combine. I understand that there's a lot of question marks about him. He could end up being a Marquez Valdez-Scantling, or some team could end up saying this is a guy that we're going to do some things with, and that's Tez Walker. But I think he's going to get the draft capital based on what he did at the combine, and he's a guy that's getting some people more excited than I am, and I'm willing to kind of be wrong on my evaluation. But if I'm going to be able to get him at 33 overall, I think that's really good value for a guy that I think will be drafted maybe in the second round.
I think it's a good spot. There was some early NFL mocks ahead of him round 1. I think DJ had him in there, but I think he's showing his true colors as far as the route running goes. The athleticism is exactly what he needed, though, to keep his name in this conversation, running, I think it was a 4.36 at 197 pounds. It keeps him in the conversation. So I think that's, you got a good value there. 3.10, I'm going to go with another slot monster. That's Malik Washington. Led the country in receptions and yards this year from Virginia. Malik Washington's my 3.10. We got two picks left, Theo. What do you got for 3.11?
I love that Malik Washington pick. That's a really, really good one right there. Really like him. I'll go back to the tight end. Well, let's get another tight end in the mix. Tight ends low-key really won the combine. We had so many tight ends run fast 40s, and I think it's going to surprise us a little bit. I'm going to go with Theo Johnson, who had this incredible, incredible testing numbers, one of the more athletic tight ends we've seen. And unlike a Zach Kuntz last year, I think Theo Johnson's just going to gain a little bit of value, and I think he'll settle in as a, you know, let's call him a third-round pick in the NFL draft. So two tight ends here in round three, Cody.
All right. 3.11, Theo Johnson. Theo picks Theo. Makes sense exactly how you'd go
best,
out.
The best name in the draft, easily.
I think I'm going to change my rankings right now at the running back position. I'm going to move one of these guys up because I'm going to draft this guy over this other guy. So that means I need to move him up. If I'm going to take him here, I'm going to move him. Isaiah Davis comes off the board. This is my running back 8. Isaiah Davis, South Dakota State, 220 pounds. 4.57 is not beautiful, but it's good enough at a big boy. That's going to be a between the tackles grinder. I love me some Isaiah Davis. I think he profiles as a fourth round pick in the NFL draft. That is exactly 30 minutes, exactly 3 rounds, Theo. Recapping round 3, Roman Wilson, 301, Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky, Troy Franklin from Oregon, Brendan Rice from USC, Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, Jalen Polk from Washington, that's 6 straight wide receivers if you're counting at home, Ben Sinnott from Kansas State, the tight end, 307, Will Shipley, the running back from Clemson, 308, Devontaz Walker from North Carolina, Malik Washington from Virginia, Theo Johnson from Penn State, and Isaiah Davis, the bruiser between the tackles from South Dakota State. Theo, the OG, I appreciate you for coming on, man. Let the fine people know what you got cooking right now, this week, the upcoming, before the draft, at Player Profiler.
Yeah, so you can look for my podcast, Dynasty Life. I'm dropping a couple episodes a week these days. Press coverage as well. Sonic Truth, Dynasty Podcast. We might have a pretty cool guest coming on Sonic Truth in the next few weeks. Hint, hint, somebody sitting here. Then you can find my written work at playerprofiler.com. A lot of, you know, rookie content, a lot of Dynasty content this time of year. And you can find me on Twitter at the OG Fantasy. And I'll be with Matty Kiwoom this Saturday on The Game Plan, Cody, which I'm excited about.
One of the best shows in the fantasy space, The Game Plan with Matty Kiwoom. Theo, I appreciate you, man. I love you. I appreciate you. And we're going to keep on crushing this stuff. 30 minutes, man. We got through 3 rounds. Oof. Pretty good analysis, if I do say so myself. We'll see you guys next week with another Mock Draft X exclusive from Roster Watch.